Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
It is Friday, the 8th day of April, 2011. I'm Alex Jones, your host. We're going to be live here for at least the next 3 hours today. And obviously, the news and information is only accelerating and intensifying and getting more and more frantic as the global financial system is purposefully imploded so that the private banking parasitical cartels can establish even greater hegemonic control over the once free peoples of planet Earth. Bruce Fein, the lawyer who is hailed by Ron Paul and others as a great patriot, has been circulating on Capitol Hill to the House and Senate articles of impeachment proving clear impeachable offenses against Barry Satiro, a.k.a. Barack Obama. And a lot of presidents have engaged in impeachable offenses. Nixon stepped down before it was fully carried out. Clinton was impeached in the House, but it was dropped in the trial in the Senate. But there's no doubt that we need to impeach Barry Satiro, and we're going to be breaking that down with Bruce Fein joining us coming up in the next hour. And then, of course, our once-a-week visit with Bob Chapman. We'll have open phones for that in the third hour today. Headline, GOP lawyer drafts Obama impeachment, circulating it on the Hill. You saw that in the news a few days ago. We have him joining us coming up. Very excited about that. Good job, the producers, for getting him on in such a timely fashion today. Obviously, we have the U.S. and world politics issues, the health issues, the incredible police state news we're going to be breaking down today, the latest in the Middle East. We have the government shutdown that I'm going to talk some about today, set to take place now today. It's just more political theater. And, of course, there's all the tapes circulating of Democrats saying, hey, we're going to have a shutdown and we're going to blame it on the Republicans. Clearly, we do have to cut the size of government. The nation is bankrupt. My issue is, though, the Republicans are predictably, except for Ron Paul, Rand Paul, and a few others, trying to rearrange deck chairs on the deck of the Titanic, because the types of cuts they're talking about do not change the structure itself of the private Federal Reserve and the debt black hole of exponential fractional reserve banking debt that cannot be escaped. When a fractional reserve banking Ponzi scheme is initiated, it always ends, and the people that design it build it this way, with more debt being created than there is actual wealth. Simply put, for a dollar to be created, debt is created. That's monetarism. That's debt slavery instead of the currency being a symbol of energy that is simply exchanged amongst the citizenry and businesses as a symbol of energy for commerce, to simply try to make commerce easier. And then credit is used as an engine to empower the individual and to empower development and competition. This system is a crony capitalist, anti-free market, insider system. And when we come back, I want to get into the fact that I off and on for 2 hours listened to Bloomberg Radio this morning on XM. I normally listen about 20 minutes in the morning when I have time, then skip around on other AM and FM channels and other XM channels. But today I listened off and on for 2 hours because they're somewhere very special. They're at Bretton Woods in New Hampshire with George Soros, and they were talking about the world government they're setting up. And they had a train of guests coming through the studio. And I'm going to talk about that when we come back. It's the only reportage I've seen.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Thank you for joining us. It is Friday, the 8th day of April, 2011. We have constitutional lawyer Bruce Fein joining us. He's the lawyer who comes highly recommended by Congressman Ron Paul, and he is circulating the impeachment articles on Capitol Hill. We're going to go over some of the constitutional evidence to impeach Barry Satoro, a.k.a. Barack Obama. Also, we're seeing Donald Trump now in many polls in New Hampshire and other key states with the Republican primary coming up here in the medium future. They start these campaigns earlier and earlier now, being number two. Ron Paul in many polls is number two or number one, but Donald Trump, I think, is doing all this for a publicity stunt for his show, The Apprentice. And he says he'll announce one way or the other right after the finale of the season. And I personally don't think that Donald Trump is going to run. I think this is a publicity stunt. And Ron Paul obviously is a million times better than Donald Trump. But Donald Trump is not stupid. And he knows which way the wind's blowing. And you notice his numbers have spiked since he started talking about Obama not showing his birth certificate. I don't know if Obama was born in Hawaii or Kenya. They certainly are trying to cover something up in Kenya and arresting people, detaining people like Dr. Jerome Corsi when he goes there to investigate. But I do know he gave up his citizenship to become an Indonesian citizen and changed his name to Barry Satoro. And I do know that no other president has sealed their records like Obama has. Hillary tried to keep her records sealed when they finally came out 2 years ago. It had her thesis for a PhD calling for Marxism. And Marxism's a bad thing, ladies and gentlemen. These are very violent, dangerous people. She's not the garden variety Marxist, the useful idiot. She's the type that understands that the big banking cartels financed Marxism as a way to rob the middle class, transfer the wealth to government that then transfers it offshore to the globalist. Speaking of violence, one of the main socialist leaders in the U.S., and I'm going to get to this later in the third hour with Bob Chapman, has put out a video talking about how great violence is against the government. And you notice MSNBC and others tried to blame myself, Ron Paul and others, for the Gifford shooting, for a man dressed up in a G-string, shaving all the hair off his body, running around with a gun, who was taking hallucinogens every day, and who'd been a big Democrat previously, but we got the blame for that. There's just constant violence out of what you'd call liberals. But these people are not liberals. They are basically just the cannon fodder for the banksters. And they're too stupid to understand that. It's like a few months ago when they had Democratic Party operatives publicly financed by Soros and others go in and protest and take over a Bank of America via a union that has total support for Obama that was also involved. And they demanded not that the bankers take a haircut, not that we write off thousand-plus trillion in derivatives, not that we get Glass-Steagall back, not that we restore the republic, not that we get rid of fractional reserve banking, but that we raise taxes. I've seen the numbers, even the Washington Post reported on these. If you took all the money of the wealthy in the United States who aren't offshore, it's only about $1.1 trillion. And that wouldn't pay off, again, a fraction of the thousand-plus trillion. The Washington Post says it's 640-something trillion. Webster Tarpley says it's 1.5 quadrillion, and that was a year ago. Other big economists say over 1,000 trillion. Whatever. 640-something, 1.5 quadrillion, whether it's 1,500 trillion or 600-and-something trillion, it doesn't matter. And that's the big issue here. And what I want to get into now before I get into the government shutdown and a really creepy article here in the news today, IRS awards $4.5 million to a whistleblower who reported to the IRS that their employer was not paying income taxes or was cheating them. Ladies and gentlemen, the IRS has announced it is now beginning to hand out cash awards for employees spying on their employers. And this is the pure Stasi society. Now, when Wachovia and Wells Fargo get caught in a two-year period laundering $370+ billion in drug money out of Mexico, and Wachovia, the subsidiary of Wells Fargo, and Wells Fargo said they admit they weren't doing proper oversight and they're sorry. And they didn't get any trouble, and neither did Wachovia. They just had to pay $100 million. It was $100 million and change. I think it was $101 million. You can pull up those articles. London Guardian, Bloomberg, AP of all. First Bloomberg 3 months ago. Now, last week, it's been in a few other newspapers. But the issue here is that 370 plus, what was it, $376 billion, laundered a $100 million fine. That's a pretty good deal. You make hundreds of billions and then you pay a tiny fraction of it. What is $101 million out of $376 billion? Do we have a calculator? Can one of you divide that out and see what that comes to? $101 million. What percentage of $376 billion is that? That'd be like if I robbed a bank and I was running out with a wheelbarrow with $1 million in it, and the cops walked over and said, listen, you could pay me a $1,000 fine right now on that million you're stealing, and we're going to let you go. Well, then I would rob banks every day if I was immoral, because I'd go in, I'd steal the million at gunpoint. Hypothetically, I'd come out with the wheelbarrow of $1 million, be loading it in wheelbarrows in the back of a van. The cops pull up and they walk over and they say, Mr. Jones, you've been really bad. I want that $1,000. That's about the equivalent of a $101 million. It's 0.03%. So it's 0.03%. They paid a fine of 0.03%? Yeah, 0.03%. Let's see if my dead reckoning was right. What's a thousand out of a million? Let's see if that's similar to that. You know, my analogy is you rob a bank for $1 million. You come out, you're loading the back of the van. The cops pull up. we need to have you pay a $1,000 fine for this. 0.1%. So my dead reckoning was a little off, but same thing. So I rob $1 million, and the police pull up and they say, Mr. Jones, we need $3,000. You need to pay a $3,000 fine for the million you just stole. The question is, would I start robbing more banks? Absolutely. Now, the only reason they got away with this is an average bank robber does not finance the politicians and the regulatory boards that then control the police. But J.P. Morgan Chase, Goldman Sachs, Wells Fargo, Wachovia, all Federal Reserve shareholders in the private Federal Reserve, they are above the law. And when they get caught in an embarrassing situation, because whistleblowers do come out and the information goes public, then they have to give them a slap on the wrist. I don't know. Is a $101 million fine out of $376 billion, is that even a slap on the wrist? I don't even think it constitutes that. And, you know, I got off into this discussion basically drawing a parallel. IRS awards $4.5 million to whistleblower. And then I just pointed out that it was whistleblowers that exposed what these banks were doing, so they got a slap on the wrist. So which way is it? Well, you know, the issue here is the government, these whistleblowers for years, it came out, warned the British and U.S. government about this money laundering. They tried to stop it. They got in trouble for it. With Bernie Madoff, for 11 years, multiple whistleblowers delivered dossiers with every bit of fraud chronicled in it, but he was the founder of the NASDAQ and a big insider, so they covered up for him. See, that's the difference is when the big boys are engaged in total fraud and corruption, they don't even get a slap on the wrist. They get, you know, maybe a thump on the wrist, if even that. And then when the IRS is going after the general public. They advertise on radio, on TV. I've seen the TV ads. I've heard the radio ads. I've seen them in print about employees. Spy on your bosses. Find them cheating on their taxes. Well, how many times have informants lied and sent cops to the wrong house just to get money? How many times have they put convicted felons on stand in federal and state cases, and it turns out they're professional witnesses that just go around the country lying? That's why the feds have a 96 to 98, depending on which year you look at, conviction rate, because you don't get a fair trial in almost every case. So that's the issue. They're advertising this, and then with the complexity of the tax code, even Money Magazine years ago, Forbes has done the same thing. They've gone out and hired 10 or 20 or 30 in different tests they've done. You've seen it in the news. Different CPAs, and the CPAs all come back with wildly different amounts you're supposed to pay. And so now it turns your employees into these spies looking for anything you've done that's even a mistake, so they can then go get their big IRS cash reward, $4.5 million to whistleblower, an in-house accountant who raised a red flag about tax lapse that his employer then ignored, leading him to tip off the IRS, has received $4.5 million in the first IRS whistleblower award. That accountant's tip netted IRS $20 million. So you hire an accountant, and then they spy on you, and then they get money, and the IRS is all over it. I mean, this will lead accountants to even set up their employers. Oh, you know that's going to happen, where they don't properly pay it and then burn them. Of course, properly pay it is an illegal, unlawful tax. We didn't get till 1913. Wasn't popularized till the early 1950s. Most Americans didn't even pay it till then. And it all goes to the private Federal Reserve. They've got new taxes for you as well. Friday. Again, thank you so much for joining us today. We do have the constitutional lawyer who's respected by Congress joining us coming up in the next hour, Mr. Fine. He is circulating articles of impeachment and recommended investigational avenues for the Congress to move with impeachment against Barack Hussein Obama, real name Barry Sotero. So that is coming up in the next hour, middle of the next hour, he'll be joining us. I'm going to go over some more news, and then I'm going to open the phones up until he joins us on any news item or issue you wish to discuss. But what do you think about IRS awards $4.5 million to an accountant, an in-house accountant of a company that ratted out their employer for, quote, having tax problems? And so we're going to be going over that coming up more. But again, the issue here is when you've got the ATF ordered to help ship guns into Mexico for 2 years under Obama so they could trace them back here and then call to restrict our Second Amendment, that's a false flag terror attack. They're endangering people. These guns are being used to murder people, including a Border Patrol agent that was killed with one of these guns. And then they grandstand and say, we've got to take your Second Amendment. We've got to restrict it because of what's happening in Mexico. Nobody gets in trouble. When big banks steal trillions of dollars and sell their customers derivatives that they know are worthless, and they pay insurance companies to certify them who know they're worthless, they don't get in trouble. They get giant, quote, bailouts, which they then hoard for themselves. And the bankers then rotate into government positions of regulatory power. And then in the next administration, rotate back out into the private sector in a revolving door. And it is the Federal Reserve in 1913 that got rid of U.S. senators being elected by the legislatures that we elect. So they were creatures of the state, really wounding the 10th Amendment and 9th Amendment. It was the same year we got the income tax that we got the Federal Reserve. All three of those things, get rid of the state power, get the private central bank, and get its graduated income tax, which is in the Communist Manifesto, financed by the Bank of England through Marx and Engels. And if you do the research, that's on record. See, graduated income taxes are to shut down the middle class and competition. You've got these big trees in the forest that are the big mega banks. They don't want new trees growing up to challenge them. So basically, communism and an income tax is a shredder they drag behind a tractor, a big giant lawnmower. You ever driven a shredder? You can just run over even medium-sized trees with them with a tractor. Just they'll say, we hadn't shredded that field in 6 years, Alex. Get out there. When I was like 11, they'd put me on the tractor and send me out there. Pretty crazy. At grandma's house, and I'd go out there and just run over sapling trees. Some of them might have been, you know, 10 feet tall with that shredder and run over them or back into them and just knock those trees down with that big old shredder on the back. And that's what this is. It's a big old shredder, and they got it in power in 1913, but promised it'd only be 1% tax on the top 2%. And, of course, they wrote loopholes where the mega-rich were exempt, just like GE and Google pay 0 to 2.4% tax. They don't pay tax, but if you're making $100,000 a year, they say you pay 35. You really pay about 40% when it's all done. They've gotten rid of the write-offs, most of them, so you're really paying about 44%, as my accountant explains it to me. And the IRS a few years ago, 3 years ago, changed their regulations where they now say that CPAs, if they don't like how the taxes are done or they change the rules retroactively, the CPAs are now liable and have to pay fines themselves. So now CPAs, and if you don't hire reputable CPAs, you get audited immediately. So if you don't hire a big CPA firm, they come after you. When you do hire the CPA firms, because I've gone around to a few of them, they basically just say, well, here's your money. You could use this to hire people and expand your operation, but sorry, we're just going to give most of it to the government. And I'm like, but look at all these write-offs. Well, you just go somewhere else if you want those. But I'm doing the math here. This is way more than 35%. Yeah, that's the way it is. I know, it's horrible. This country's got the highest taxes in the world, Mr. Jones. Go try somebody else. So I go get another CPA at a big firm. And another one. Same thing. It's just basically now just all your money is given to the government. To the Federal Reserve, excuse me. Like, I keep remembering it's not public. It's private. Even, I've known that forever, but I have to get my mind around that. Like when it came out in the news a few weeks ago that hundreds of billions of dollars of taxpayer money were paid to media for propaganda, I kept saying the government. No, it was the Federal Reserve did that. So the media headlines were government and Obama paying off media, but when you read, it's the Federal Reserve.
You are listening to an Infowars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Extremism and defense of liberty is no vice.
Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central. Back Sundays, 4 to 6 p.m. live. Thank you so much for joining us today. Okay, let me hurry through the news, and then I'm going to start going to your phone calls. Joe, Don, Lucretia, Fred, Sean, and others. We don't screen your calls. But if you volunteer that you disagree, you go to the head of the line. So we don't just not screen your calls. If you volunteer you disagree, you go to the head of the line. But if you disagree in a completely nonsensical way, I'm not even going to debate things with you. You know, people that call in with completely false paradigms that are totally stupid, I'm not able to have debates with them, but you will go to the front of the line. Nevertheless, doesn't mean you're going to be treated well. A lot of times people who disagree, though, actually point something out or help me elaborate or qualify something, so that's why I always enjoy those. The toll-free number to join us is 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. So getting back to the IRS, IRS awards $4.5 million to whistleblower, an in-house accountant who raised a red flag about a tax lapse that his employer then ignored, leading him to tip off the IRS, has received $4.5 million IRS whistleblower award. The accountant's tip netted the IRS $20 million in taxes and interest from the errant financial services firm. The award represents 22% cut of the taxes recovered. The program, designed to encourage tips in large-scale cases, mandates awards of 15 to 30% of the account recoup. it ought to encourage a lot of people to squeal. Senator Charles Grassley told the Associated Press the Iowa Republican helped get the IRS whistleblower office authorized. And the IRS mailed the accountant's lawyer $3.24 million check with taxes out of it that arrived in suburban Philadelphia by first-class mail Thursday, because the accountant can't be trusted to pay the Federal Reserve their cut back. The sum represents the award minus 28% tax hit. And it goes on. It's a win-win for both the government and taxpayers. These dollars that are there being returned to the Treasury that otherwise wouldn't be, said his lawyer. Now, what's happening here? What's happening? This ties into the government shutdown. And I want to get to something that's sophisticated, but at the same time very simple. But an idea that if we can get it across to Republicans and Democrats, people still caught in the control paradigm, can really unlock minds. You see, notice what the banker owned and run and financed, in many cases directly by the Federal Reserve, MSNBC, CNN, local newspapers, it's all come out. They're being secretly paid by the Federal Reserve, your tax money. Totally illegal. Congress ruled that in 2006 when Bush was doing it through subsidiaries that it was illegal. Headlines, fake news ruled illegal by CBO investigation. What's happening here? The globalists are masters at creating crises that enrich them and expand their power on the front end. And then when their actions wreck and damage society and destabilize society and make people poorer, they then pose as the saviors. Very simple. Problem, reaction, solution. Hegelian dialectic. Create a crisis, then have their media say, what are we going to do about it? What's the solution? They bring on their panel of experts on every channel for months to tell you this is the answer. Then the public says, well, then do something about it. Then sometimes they'll even have establishment people who finance it to begin with act like they're against it. Please don't throw me in the briar patch. Just like in 1913, it came out that many of the big papers owned by the private banks here in the U.S. had bank heads against the Federal Reserve Act saying, no, don't do it. We're against it. It turned out, of course, a year before, they had secretly met at Jekyll Island, Georgia, and they now brag about this and write books about it. And they had a meeting earlier this year for the 100th anniversary. And they, of the first group of meetings, and Greenspan got up there and bragged about how great it was and how good it was and how they established their hegemony through the system. And so I said I'd make this simple, but there's so many points that go into it. To recap my beginning, they create the crisis, then they offer the solution, and many times then they even come out and attack the solution. The solution they've created that gives them more power, knowing that people are sophisticated but not sophisticated enough to realize that they're actually the authors of the very program that they're now saying they're against, because they know you at least are aware enough to understand that they're the bad guys. Okay? So it is a multifaceted deception, a con, a good cop, bad cop system squared. A tissue of manipulation where they give you false choices within a system that's already been basically geared towards their aims of hegemonic consolidation of power. So that said, what's happening with this government shutdown? Same thing that happened back in the mid-90s. The Republicans love their upwards of $2 trillion a year on and off budget for military welfare, military-industrial complex. Eisenhower warned you about it, but if you say we're spending too much, we're in trouble, they call you a communist and decry you, and I guess they'd call Eisenhower that then. President Eisenhower, Dwight D. Eisenhower. So the Republicans love that welfare. The Republicans have been trained, and the Republican minions have been trained, that corporations can do no wrong, they're good, government's bad. They don't understand that the mega corporations are different than local corporations or businesses and are using government and regulations to shut down their competition and getting the lion's share of corporate welfare, not just the upwards, it's like $1.9 trillion a year. With this new Libyan war, they're talking about it at the end of it being a cool $2 trillion. along with some other new military operations and expansions. And you've got the other corporate welfare operations where they write the loopholes, where they can move offshore but still be based here, and Google can pay 2.4% tax. General Electric pays zero tax. If you look at most of the big Fortune 100, on average, they're paying very little tax. Sure, their employees are paying tax. Some of their CEOs are paying tax. But overall, most of it's been moved to the Cayman Islands, to Switzerland. And for every dollar they're paying, there's hundreds of dollars being hidden. And that's not debated. And then they'll say, oh, we've got to do something about that. We've got to have global regulation to stop the tax havens, the tax shelters. And then they go and raid $1 million tax shelters and $10 million and $20 million tax shelters in Switzerland, not the billion and $50 billion and $125 billion secret bank accounts. They just put on a show, kind of like the $376 billion laundered by Wachovia and Wells Fargo in 2-year period out of Mexico, actually running the aircraft, running the operations. They get $101 million slap on the wrist, 0.3%, which I liken to, I come out of a bank, I've robbed $1 million, I'm loading in the back of a van, the cops pull up, and they say, Mr. Jones, we want 0.3%, that'll be $3,000. That's how this works. And I said I would, again, go through this sophisticated model of their disinfo, but I'm just setting the table here before I go to your calls to getting to the crux of the matter. Just as the banksters engineered the Federal Reserve Act takeover and the income tax, just as the banksters engineered the implosion of the economy, and when it didn't fall fast enough, they came and said, we're going to have a depression unless you give us unlimited trillions in October of 2008. And then they have a stimulus bill, which is just another bailout to themselves. And the word bailout is a lie. It's a pure cash transfer of interest-free money to themselves to then loan out to the public. Some credit cards are now at 69%. In fact, pull up that CNN headline. Some annual credit card interest, 69%. I want to put that on screen for folks. That's on average about double what loan sharking is considered. So all of that is happening. They also create subsidiaries that they then put the losses in and the profits go offshore, that they bankrupt those, or taxpayer money then comes in and bails it out. So it's just fraud on top of fraud on top of fraud. So here we are looking at the government shutdown where, oh my gosh, the Girl Scouts that want to go to the National Monument, they can't because it's closed. And you're now seeing that. They're starting to hype that. Or the poor military, they're not going to get their pay for a few months if this happens. And then they'll have to be retroactively paid. And their children will go without food. And they sell this entire idea of you need the government. It makes the grass grow. It makes the sun shine. We've got to do something. We've got to raise taxes. We've got to get some more revenue. We don't have money. When if we weren't in this fractional reserve system and if we hadn't been signed on globally, not just U.S. citizens, but every other major industrialized nation, to the $1,500 trillion and growing in fraudulent derivatives that the bankers used when they were issuing them and selling them to consolidate even more power and wealth, hundreds of times all the real wealth in the world. See, that's why they want population reduction. They just want us out of the way. They don't even need us anymore. That's the big secret. They see this planet as theirs. They got it through fraud. They protect their stolen wealth through the military and corrupt police, who themselves are compartmentalized and on average are good people, but are given a false psychological view of the world to follow a false template to carry out tyranny. An IRS agent taking some family's $100,000 home and kicking them out on the street where they got to move in with their in-laws feels good and righteous. Why? You got behind on your taxes. And they're like, well, I couldn't pay them. And well, you got to pay this 20% interest for the last 3 years. So you owe us $400,000. And dad says, well, I only make $60,000 a year, my wife $20,000 a year. I can't physically pay this off. Gas costs too much. The economy's falling apart. I got kids in school. I got to buy insurance for them. They go, sorry, buddy boy. And they take your house. And if you don't pay your rent on your hovel to the king, your feudal rent of the property tax, they come with armed men if you don't leave, and they throw you out on the street. And the IRS agents or the sheriff's deputies doing this, they feel good. I've seen the countless videos online of them throwing families out, the kids crying. They feel good. And I was incorrect. I said 69%. My mind couldn't get around this number. I apologize. The credit card has 79.9, so it was 10 points. 10% higher than what my mind, people think I exaggerate. Generally, if I go from memory, my mind tends to water it down because I can't believe it myself. So I'm sorry. Put it back on screen. CNN credit cards now 79.9%. On average, people are paying around 30%. That's the credit card reform legislation Obama passed a year and a half ago to help you. Just like a top general yesterday said, yeah, they're getting ready to put ground troops into Libya because they would never put ground troops in. That means they are going to put ground troops in, and they're already ground troops and CIA advising. Oh, we're going to cut your credit card rate. It's going to go from 25 to 79.9. Now, how's that sound? See, it's just a completely Orwellian system. But here's the issue that I want to get across, and we're going to put that back on screen for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers. We're just going to leave that up there for a few minutes. So I think it's so important for people to see that number, 79.9%, and they're just getting started. You know, I said I would quantify a sophisticated attack by the globalist for the left and the right if people want to get out of their rhetoric and their rah-rah football team type mindset of where it's fun to hate Democrats and it's fun to hate Republicans, and we've been trained from cradle to grave how to infight with each other and how to follow disinformation or limited paradigms of information. It's a national pastime to be a chump, to be an idiot, to be conned, to be a sucker, to be manipulated. But if you want to understand in a nutshell what's happening through the example of this shutdown, the banksters come in, they hold the country hostage, they get us into even more fraudulent debt to them out of the private fiat tsunami of fraudulent financial instruments that they've made. And then once they're done with that, they then say, we've got to set up a new system. We've got to raise new taxes. We've got to have boxes in your cars that'll track you by the mile. We've got to raise all these other fines and fees on you because America's bankrupt. And then they scapegoat the unions and the welfare moms, a lot of them that are entitled and do have attitude problems and are anti-gun, but they're just kept brainwashed people. And that's an overgeneralization. Many of the union people know what's going on. They don't like having to pay their dues into the socialistic Democratic Party. So I've set some of the background here, and there's just thousands of trees in this forest. To understand it, you've got to really research it and walk through it for yourself. But looking generally at the lay of the land itself, this morning I listened off and on for about 2 hours to Bloomberg Financial News. I don't normally listen that much to it. I'll pop in to check what they're doing. But I tuned in for a long period this morning because they are at Bretton Woods, New Hampshire, with George Soros and several hundred top academics and central bankers trying to iron out, they say, a new economic order because, quote, capitalism isn't working. Well, yes, the system of robbery they've created, the system of derivatives they've created, the system of fraud they've created, the system where they're above the law and can engage in any type of crime they want, drug money laundering, selling fraudulent derivatives. Yes, that system is broken. Not for them. They're all making record profits 3 years in a row and consolidating and buying almost everything up. And the middle class is disappearing and becoming debt slaves. But that's what they're masters of. The very bankers that engineered this are now going to the government employees and the military and to the corporations that get government contracts, and they're saying, see how dependent on us you really are. See how much you need government. Look at how, it just makes my head ache, look at how without the government, everything shuts down. So this is just like Paulson holding Congress hostage, saying, you won't give us unlimited money in the banker takeover, known as the banker bailout. We'll go out on TV and say we're going to have a depression, and the market's going to fall by almost 1,000 points, and then we'll see how you vote. And they got themselves together, bowed down, and licked his boots. And so the bankers engineer the crisis, and then they go out and scapegoat the low-level welfare that was just to domesticate people and cause a fight between the American people who are on the government dole or getting a government paycheck with those of us that aren't, so that we're busy fighting with each other instead of going, wait a minute, it's the banksters. They're the... All right, Lucretia and others, I'm going to your calls soon. At least 30 minutes of the next hour will be nothing but calls. But getting back to Bretton Woods, too, with George Soros honchoing it up in New Hampshire, listening to this and listening to the buzzwords and the creepiness of all these economists and central bankers who they had coming through every 10-minute segment on there, I was just basically depressed by it. Their snake-like voices, their disinformation. But this is more towards a highbrow business audience, so they were admitting the global economy's in a depression. There's this total crisis. Things are disintegrating. There's the problems of derivatives. And their answer is a global regulatory body for global standardized control and taxation. And they're going to save us from the problems that they are the authors of on record. And they're not going to save us from the problems, because the problems are the solutions for them. They just know that the public is feeling the pain, and they know even more pain's coming. And so they're just going to play the French people off against each other, the Irish, the American people, and every other country they're robbing with the exact same system. They're going to play us off against each other, cut the paychecks of the government workers and the corporate welfare that most businesses are dependent on now, and then get everybody fighting with each other over table scraps, over a few trillion, while they have got the 1,000-plus trillion. And it's really that simple. But to hear them sitting up there talking about how lucky they are that we have them there trying to fix the problem was disgusting. And to know how ignorant most of these union spokespeople are, and to hear the mainline Republicans, how ignorant they are. It's all about, we got to fix America. We got to cut the budget by $100 billion, or $200 billion, or $300 billion, or $400 billion, or $500 billion. That isn't going to do it. Because when you talk about budgets of a trillion here, a trillion there, when you talk about deficits of a trillion, that's nothing compared to the overhang of the debt black hole of the 1,000-plus trillion. And you're not hearing any discussion about that. It's all about the diversion of how do we fix America? Well, let's play the American people off against each other. And to have to hear the Republicans talk about the Democrats, and because they'll have Michael Moore come out and attack the central banks, but he'll attack it because there's some wealthy people making money. He doesn't attack the fractional reserve banking system. He doesn't attack the private Federal Reserve. No, the problem is there's not enough taxes. But then when you actually read what the Council on Foreign Relations is putting out, what the OECD is putting out, what the IMF and World Bank and UN are putting out, they're all calling for increased taxes on the wealthy, because the mega rich are in a war against the wealthy and the middle class. That's historical, going back to even Greek times. And the ultra rich are the people who control the regulators and write all the loopholes, but they don't even need loopholes now. They just do whatever they want. Do you understand that? And so that's why this is only going to get worse and worse, because as it gets worse and worse for us, it gets better and better for them. So they're saying, let's get the rich people. And for somebody making $40,000 a year, $30,000 a year at some union job, and they see somebody making $500,000 a year, to them, that's Donald Trump. And they're like, yeah, take their money. The ultra rich own huge combines of corporations. Their debt is hidden. It's offshore. You don't even see that in the financial actuaries that are put out there. And so pressure from below and above, the globalists are sicking the American people who are having their standard of living cut, their dollar devalued, their government paychecks cut. They're going to sick them on each other in a big brawl. So we're busy fighting with each other while the globalists openly establish world government and have their financed mainstream news media put them up there on a pedestal and hail the new world government and debt servitude as the solution. That's what's going on at Bretton Woods, too.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are now into hour number two. I've only scratched the surface of the news. South Koreans wear masks out of fear of radiation from Japan. Just from the backwash they're getting from it, our government says don't even worry about it and is raising the safe radiation levels 25,000 times what they were previously. Oh, they just changed an accounting number and everything's fine. We'll get more into the government shutdown, more into Bretton Woods 2 going on. We do have Bruce Fine joining us, the constitutional lawyer on Capitol Hill, circulating articles of impeachment against Barry Sotero, a.k.a. Barack Obama. Also, we've got one of the big socialist leaders in the U.S. basically endorsing armed rebellion if the government doesn't redistribute the middle class's wealth fast enough. And, of course, the bankers are openly financing all these groups. It's totally sick. Let's go to Lucretia in Oregon, who disagrees, then Joe, Don, Fred, Sean, and others. Lucretia, you're on the air.
Thank you, Alex. Listen, you know I love all you do. I've passed out over 800 of your CDs and got you on the local radio, but I have really three disagreements with you. And the first one, I've got Dr. Stan Monteith, Dr. Russell Blaylock, Dr. Fletcher, Dr. Miller, Dr. Brownstein, even Dr. Mercola is coming around. And that's regarding something I called you about before. And I have a big stake in this. I not only had my womb cut out of my body, but terrible fibroids. And men need to listen. All the InfoWarrior men need to listen up, too, because all the prostate problems are being caused by this, too. And I'm a nutritionist. And I went back to my book, my nutrition book in 1974, that started having this disinfo in it and taking this information.
Well, ma'am, you say you disagree. What do you disagree with me? What's your issue? Tell me.
No, I had to preface it like that. What I disagree on is the fact that we've got to get out that it's not just potassium iodide. We need the potassium iodine. All the potassium iodine is what the breasts use. 90% of the women now have fibroids in their breasts. They're twice as likely to get breast cancer. The prostate problems. The parts of the body use iodide. Some use both iodine and iodine. But everybody should be taking this because we're going to see breast cancer, ovarian cancer, prostate cancer.
Well, ma'am, I'm totally confused, Lucretia, and I'm glad you called, but we normally have people who go to the heaven line who disagree, who really do disagree. I've had medical doctors on, I've had nutritionists, pharmacists on, saying that iodine is key to the whole body and that most Americans have iodine, also vitamin D deficiency. And you're absolutely right that it is mineral and other deficiencies are one of the biggest issues in this country. I totally agree with you. I don't know what you're talking about.
The RDA is 100 times less than what the Japanese to 400 times less, and everybody needs to start eating like a good 4 to 12 sheets of nori a day. That's how much seaweed they'd have to eat. Now it's so polluted. Forget that. But the iodoral, the Lugos, it has both the potassium iodine and potassium iodide, and you don't need to take the 130 milligrams. You know, something like 12 milligrams is what Dr. Russell Blaylock and Dr. Stan Monteith, Dr. Miller, Dr. Fletcher all recommend, and people need to start getting on that. So that's my disagreement. Now, the second thing, if I may. Oh, and if you would, Alex.
Ma'am, we only got about a minute.
I know, I wish you would get Dr. Miller or Dr. Blaylock on to talk about this, and also Dr. Mark Starr, who talks about the thyroid.
We've had Dr. Blaylock on a lot. I want to get Dr. Blaylock back on about government-run health care, so let's get him on in the next few weeks. That's a good idea. We've had most of these people on, ma'am. I really appreciate your call. You got about 20 seconds left.
Okay, second thing is, you know about the heave weapon in Bernard Eastland's patent?
Yes.
Okay, because that can raise up the gravitational field of the Earth and let it back down like an atom bomb. And if you look at before all these earthquakes, we are seeing a 2.5 frequency, and then they cut it off.
And they're seeing in Chile, in Japan, these big lights right before it happens, which is associated with the HAARP weapon system. Look, my gut tells me HAARP could be involved in this, but I can't prove it. But the patents say it can do it. The former Secretary of Defense admits it. But, I mean, I can't come out and say it's HAARP without total proof. But something stinks.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
It is Friday, the 8th day of April, 2011. I'll be back Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. here. We're going to go back to your phone calls here in just a moment. We do have, coming up in about 30 minutes, Bruce Fein joining us. He's the constitutional lawyer who comes highly recommended by Ron Paul up on Capitol Hill circulating articles of impeachment against Barack Obama. Clearly, he should be impeached for a whole host of issues. He's violated the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. He became the UN head of the Security Council, violating Article 1, Section 9. But there's a lot of other reasons, and it needs to happen. If the Republicans were real and there was a real system change happening, they would go after him for these crimes. The problem is the Republican leadership has signed off on most of this and been enthusiastic on a lot of it. And that's why Ken Starr went after Bill Clinton for lying about having sex with Monica Lewinsky.
I did not have sex with that woman, Monica Lewinsky. How dare you? How dare you? 9/11, an inside job. How dare you?
Yeah, how dare us? How dare us, Clinton? Because they couldn't go after him on the missile secrets to China, the corruption, the bid rigging, all of the classical fraud going on, because the Republican leadership was up to their eyeballs in it. That's why they'll normally go after somebody on a sexual scandal. Or on their private taxes or lying to Congress, something little that's only about them. So I'm going to bring all this up with our guest coming up. This should be very interesting to have a wider discussion. In fact, guys, I know he's circulating that. I saw a copy online, or is that already in my folder, the articles of impeachment he's circulating? Okay, good, good. Yeah, okay, I do have a list of them. Good. When he joins us, I'm going to talk more about the government shutdown. It is a complete hologram, a distraction. I don't like a lot of out-of-control unions who are for NAFTA and GATT and basically just take their members' money to give it to the Democrats to push gun control. And that's one of their big pet projects. I don't like all the welfare moms and all the rest of it, or that most of the illegal alien anchor babies are getting full welfare for their families as the states go bankrupt. That's part of the plan to bankrupt 43 states now in bankruptcy, technically, and then have the feds themselves who are bankrupt take them into receivership. Then we go into receivership with the private central banks who will just make up more fiat money to pay the debts for us as long as they get to own the assets. But that's all a limited symptom of globalism, and you could get rid of all that welfare today, and it wouldn't pay for a fraction of the $1,000-plus quadrillion dollars in derivatives that we've been forced to sign on to. You think $1.5 trillion yearly deficit is a big deal? That's nothing compared to our real problems that we've signed on to this debt. So the Democrats are calling for more taxes, more regulation, more welfare, more government jobs, because that's their job, is to create a dependent population so that we will be bankrupt and beholden to the system. The Republicans, they're busy pushing all their corporate welfare and their tax-exempt status for offshore corporations and all the rest of it as well. And they're not pushing to get rid of the repeal of Glass-Steagall to bring back real banking regulations so that the mega banks can't create all this counterfeit currency and counterfeit financial instruments. They're not calling to make Wall Street, who created all these gambling debts, take a haircut in the free market. No, they're going into QE2, QE3. They're continuing QE2, and I heard them on Bloomberg this morning at Bretton Woods 2 saying QE3 is going to be needed. But if we give the bankers total control over our lives, they'll fix the problem they created, which is making themselves emperors of the planet. Oh, that's a big problem for them. No, this is their stated goal. We got a lot of radiation news as well. But let's try to go through your calls quickly. Callers, let's talk to Joe in Illinois. Joe, thanks for holding.
Hi, Alex. Thank you. It's an honor, for sure. I'm going to tell you, get this out as quick as I can. In reference to what you're saying about Americans being turned against each other, let me put this into context. What you say about the 98% conviction rate the feds have in criminal court is absolutely right. I'm glad to hear somebody finally say that in public. I would like to say that the government is big on talking about conspiracy theories, but yet they convict people of conspiracy several times a day. I'm one of them, so I'm speaking, you know, from knowledge.
Yeah, they tell us with big government and big corporations, nobody ever gets in back rooms and makes deals that are illegal. That's a conspiracy, a criminal conspiracy. If I conspire with my buddies to go on a fishing trip, that means we just organize something. That's just not a criminal conspiracy. That's a conspiracy of enjoyment and leisure. If I'm going to go camping, that's a conspiracy of leisure. But when they get together and get rid of Glass-Steagall so they can then take over the planet through financial fraud, that's a conspiracy. But they've convinced us that there's hundreds of thousands of convictions I've seen a year. It's in the hundreds of thousands of state, local, and federal conspiracy charges. But that we can believe. You know, some guys can conspire in a cave to attack us on 9/11, but the big corporations that run the planet, they never conspire, Joe.
And I'd like to just say that in reference to your point about how, you know, people will be turned against each other, and what I'm saying, it ties in with the court system, is that what I would love to see you do on the show is have an expert on the jury selection in federal court. I don't know if you're aware of this, but the jury pool in federal court, unlike state court, where the jury pool, where they choose, if a juror is not chosen for jury duty, they're dismissed. In federal court, in federal criminal court, those jurors stay in a pool, and what happens then is they get to know the judge and the prosecutors very well.
No, that's right. It's a hand-picked group that will convict you. 98. It's 96 and 98, depending on which year. On average, it's about 97 if you average the two together. So 97% last year, it was 98%. The year before, it was 96%. And it's growing. Soon, it'll be 100%. Because you're right. How many Americans know it's a kept jury of little minions, usually little government toadies? The few that don't play ball over the years are removed, and they would send a ham sandwich to the electric chair if they were ordered to do so. That's why the Liberty Dollar, 13 years operating, just a silver coin, openly denouncing the Federal Reserve. You got all these states moving, now 9 states moving for their own currency, and the feds told the jury to convict Bernard von Notaus, and he's going to prison. Great points. I appreciate your call. Oh, yeah, it's scary, folks. It is really scary. I mean, did the Nazis have a 98% conviction rate? Do you really think 98% of people that the government indicts, the federal government, are guilty? I'll tell you who that 2% was. They've now brought him into two trials. Former federal treasury officer who heard a radio show in California, now 13 years ago, Joe Bannister, he heard him break down the Federal Reserve, that the income tax is a fraud, wasn't properly ratified. He spent 2 years researching it, didn't believe it because he was going to come out against the talk show host, you know, on air. He wasn't going to try to go after him politically. And he found out it was all true and brought it to his superiors, and they said, shut up about this. Basically, yeah, we all know this. Welcome to the club. And years later, they indicted him for you know, claiming he was involved in fraud and stuff for speaking publicly about this. He went to federal court and beat him. Then they came after him again. They beat him again. I mean, because he's so upright and he has the facts, but they're just going to keep coming after him, folks. They want to get him. Folks, we didn't have a Federal Reserve till 1913. Until 1951, less than 1% of Americans paid income tax. Go look it up. Okay, we built the stinking country with over a 10% growth rate per year on average with zero inflation for the first, 1789 until 1913. You can look up the history of it. For that multi-hundred-year period of time, 160 years, whatever it is, zero inflation, 10% growth rate on average. Now, do you like the economy we got now under these bankers sitting on top of us? And Joe Bannister starts traveling the country speaking out against him, so they trump stuff up and clap him in irons? And these people are crooks. Sick of it. Fred in Illinois. No, Don in Texas is first. Don in Texas. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I'm scared for sure, but I stumbled across a company that it seems to be the government is outsourced to. They're completely unsupervised. They have unlimited funds, and I'm scared to even say their name because that's what they do for the NSA is record all phone calls, electronic transmissions.
Well, sir, you need to get past that fear. Are you talking about the Israeli company?
No, sir, it's an American company.
Well, say the name.
It is called Science Applications International.
I know that company.
They're hired by the FBI to scan all banking records. They place all wiretaps. They have all personal records. They're hired by the EPA to write the regulations for radioactive waste. And then they're hired by the NRC to dispose of that waste under their guidelines that they were paid hundreds of millions of dollars to write.
Well, now the government... I know a little bit about that company, but not all that information. Now the government's just raising radiation levels to 25,000 times what they previously said was safe. So now, just like in Japan, they publicly are burying the rods that were shot a mile away with bulldozers. That was in the New York Times 2 days ago. What's wrong with that? I mean, if they say radiation's good, then you ought to put it on your children's cereal.
Company in the 80s was given a contract to dispose of nuclear waste. They made it into steel. They put it in the gold for jewelry. They put it in silver for jewelry. In the 80s, up until 1992, when people were dying, they stopped it.
I remember hearing about that, but specifically, what's the name of that corporation again? Science?
Science Applications International. It is nothing... I believe they probably tell the Bilderberg Group what to do.
Well, I have read about that group. I know they're involved in a lot of the planning and organizing of things and infrastructure. What, did you work for them?
No, I stumbled upon this doing research for stock.
All right, we'll look into it, Don. We'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, the system has gotten away with so much corruption that now they just see the population as a hindrance. They've taken everything over by fraud. They run everything. They get away with any crimes they want. They've got an army of corrupt juries at the federal level that convict 98% of the time. We've got the biggest prison population in the world. The government publicly ships the narcotics in. The banks publicly launder the money. And they're going to destroy everything. They like what they're doing. People better grow up. You know, you're not hearing this information on any other talk radio out there. We've put out so much truth that a lot of people like Beck and others are forced to cover a fraction of it. And that's a step in the right direction. But I'm risking my life to bring you this information because I've studied history and I know how dangerous this is. We're going to go to Fred and Sean and David and others here in a moment. We'll continue with calls into the next hour with Bob Chapman. We have a constitutional law expert joining us who circulated articles of impeachment on Capitol Hill. Big news on that front for Barry Sotero, a.k.a. Barack Obama. What happened is we bought from one of the biggest suppliers in the country because they couldn't handle the orders. They said, please take it from us. We can't. They're here in Texas. And they sold out. We sold out of it. And then we had so many orders, I held back quite a lot of it to make sure that if it got broken or damaged or lost, that we'd have enough to ship out to people. We had a limited amount last week. This is the absolute end of it now. We've shipped everything out. If you order it, you will get it. A lot of places you order it from can't handle the amount of volume or they don't have it. and they're just hoping to get it later and then ship it to you. No, we have it in stock, and it will all ship out by Monday or Tuesday of next week because the amount we have is so small. I can guarantee it's going to get shipped out very, very quickly. If you want the potassium iodate, that's enough for 10 doses for 20 adults. So that can treat 20 people if you end up needing it. It's perfect to have in every medicine cabinet. Potassium iodine, available at InfoWars.com. We also have a little rad sticker radiation detectors that are only $5 a piece. So we have those as well available at InfoWars.com. But this is it. A lot of companies are going to have more in about a month or so, but we're basically, I don't know, we might add it there at that time, but I'm certainly not going to be pushing it. But this all started whenever I went out and tried to find potassium iodate for my family because the stuff I had was expired. I had the pill form that expires. This is the raw form. It does not expire. If you keep it dry and in a cool place, basically it's like honey. It lasts indefinitely, and it's got all the fact sheets on it. And before you use it, contact a physician or healthcare provider. But again, we've got a limited amount of potassium iodine available right now at InfoWars.com. When it's gone, it's gone. That's it. InfoWars.com. We can't take phone call orders. We only have two people answering phones, and we can't do it that way because it just overflows the phone system. So order online, InfoWars.com. First come, first serve. We are limiting how many you can get. I wish we didn't have to. Let's go ahead and talk to Fred in Illinois. Fred, you're on the air.
Hello, Alex. Pleasure to talk to you.
Good to talk to you, sir.
Hey, it's funny. First-time caller, long-time listener, and I'm also probably like a seven-year info warrior. Hand your stuff out and other people's stuff out. Heard you talking about mowing brush with a woods mower. Do that all the time here in Illinois, prairie restoration. Just wanted to make some quick points here. First of all, I want to get a call out to all the info warriors out there to get out there and hand this stuff up and, you know, form tea parties and, you know, just interact with the community because it's very fulfilling. Second point, I want somebody out there to kind of design a T-shirt and maybe a logo describing the founding Tea Party members. I think the date probably December 16th, 2007. You could correct me if I'm wrong, but I participated that day, and I'm very proud of
it. Ron Paul founded it. The Ron Paul grassroots founded it, and then the Republicans in 2009 started taking it over.
That's right. Yeah, so when I go out and talk to people, a lot of times I get negative reactions that I think are unfounded because, you know, I stand for the real Tea Party. So if somebody could design a shirt and maybe on the back describe the date and the fact that...
It's done. That's a genius point. I'll get with my designers. We'll have maybe a block of, you know, text, maybe 3-4 lines on the back saying the real Tea Party was founded by constitutionalists for the Ron Paul campaign in 2007. We're against war. We're against the private Federal Reserve. We're not neocon Republicans or communist Democrats. We are the resistance to true tyranny. And then on the front... I think we should have Ron Paul and say real Tea Party and then founder Ron Paul on the front, on the back say we're in the Fed, we're in the wars, we're control the borders, we're the true patriots. That is a genius idea. Man, I wish I could continue to talk to you, Fred. We got a guest coming up, but great point. Anything else?
Just everybody keep their comments quick.
Yeah, that's an awesome idea. Great job, Fred.
Well, I won't back down.
You know, in my film, Fall
no,
the Republic,
I won't back down.
One of the many things we break down is that President Obama has brazenly violated Article 1, Section 9 of the U.S. Constitution by seating himself at the head of the U.N. Security Council, thus becoming the first U.S. president to chair the world body. And I remember we watched it live when it happened, when he took the month-long rotation on it. There at the UN, Kissinger was there in rapture, all these other globalists, they went on TV after and said this is a great day for the New World Order, a great day for globalism, that a president has now been in a dual capacity for a foreign quasi-government power. And they said 3 weeks ago, this is a great day with the UN resolution. now 3 weeks and a day ago, and within 36 hours, Obama had taken UN orders and launched an attack without even consulting Congress. I mean, before it was a declaration of war, then it was the authorization of force, which is a token and unconstitutional, impeachable from my research. Now it's just, who needs a stinking Congress when you can have an emperor who takes orders from the UN itself? Now, Bruce Fine, if I go over his bio, it would take hours, but he's a lawyer specializing in constitutional international law, graduated from Harvard in 72. Bruce Fine served as Associate Deputy Attorney General from 81 to 82 as the General Counsel to the Federal Communications Commission under President Ronald Reagan. Fine was also top Justice Department official under the Reagan administration. Fine has written numerous articles for the Washington Times, Slate, the New York Times. He's also worked for the American Enterprise Institute, Heritage Foundation, analyst, commentator, American Empire Before the Fall, published by Campaign for Liberty, June of last year. Other books, Constitutional Peril, The Life and Death Struggle of Our Constitutional Republic. Ron Paul, Constitution and Democracy. Ron Paul is among the most notable, consistent proponents of Mr. Fine's political commentary. Is quoted on the cover of Constitutional Peril saying, "Bruce Fine is one of the most important legal minds of our time. Constitutional Peril is a must-read for American lovers of liberty." So when he talks, we need to listen. And, of course, Politico and countless other publications have gone with his report. GOP lawyer drafts Obama impeachment. And he's been circulating in the halls of Congress this week. Hope he's got his life insurance up. He has a lot of courage. Certainly there's a lot of reasons to impeach him, but a lot of Republican leadership is involved in the treacherous constitutional malfeasance as well. That's why they went after Clinton for a sexual escapade, because that was limited to just that event. They don't want to get into missile secrets to the Chinese or things like that, because Republicans were involved as well. Bruce is really going after him on this, and we'll talk about the reasons he's moving for impeachment as a top legal mind. And then I've got a few other questions about other areas that I see that are impeachable. But Mr. Fine, thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Well, you've got the floor. Tell us about your impeachment move, what it breaks down, where folks can read the text of it, and where we go from here.
Well, they can read the text of it. It's printed now on Politico website and some other websites, but that's the easiest way to find it. It's got over 8,000 hits already in just about a day. But let me go back to the founding. You know what we're going to do to honor the Republic. I'm speaking a little bit like James Otis and Sam Adams at the 1765 Stamp Act protest that said Americans were not going to reduce themselves to vassals to King George III. That we the people are sovereign, and that we're going to chart our own destiny. We're not going to have one individual or group of individuals tell us what's good for us, what's in the national interest, and flout the rule of law. And that's basically the precipice we're standing on today. It's not 1765 in the Stamp Act. It is Barack Obama stating that he can utilize our military offensively anytime he believes, in his viewpoint, it advances the national interest, whatever he thinks that is. In Libya, he says it's a humanitarian interest. All I can say is if that level of oppression justifies war unilaterally, we got about 80 countries standing right behind Libya. Start thinking about Zimbabwe, China, Chechnya, Burma, you name it.
Mexico.
We'll be at war forever. And we'll be spending ourselves into further bankruptcy, which we can't afford. It'll mean secrecy. It'll mean suspending habeas corpus. We'll be put in detentions without trials, military commissions instead of civilian commissions. We'll have the greatest amount of invasion of privacy in the history of the United States. The Transportation Security Administration, they'll be looking up every single crevice we've got at the president's decree. Anyway, the fundamental rule of law is at stake here. And the reason is the Founding Fathers were as explicit as they were in any other provision of the Constitution in writing in the Declaration of War Clause, which is assigned exclusively to Congress. Over and over again, at the Constitutional Convention, the ratification debate, the Federalist Papers explaining the Constitution, only Congress can authorize offensive use of warfare, because the entire history of mankind, the entire history of Europe, known to the Founding Fathers, was a history of executives running off and undertaking needless wars to aggrandize themselves.
Julius Caesar.
Politically. This is Caesar crossing the Rubicon and marching on Rome. That is exactly right. So we have as great a clarity in the meaning of the war clause as we do in freedom of speech, in the requirement that Congress tax tax and Congress spend. The president can't do that unilaterally. And yet, despite that clarity, the president has gone on and said, not only Libya, any other place that I think is the national interest, I will use war. Moreover, it was quite alarming yesterday. His Office of Legal Counsel, the Department of Justice, issued a paper that purported to justify constitutionally what he had done. And the paper says that the president has power to go to war offensively, unilaterally, to, quote, support the United Nations Security Council's credibility and effectiveness. Right? Not the Constitution, the United Nations Security Council. Now, the Supreme Court has held for over 50 years a treaty. A treaty cannot supersede constitutional requirements and stipulations, like only war can be authorized by Congress. So it doesn't matter what the UN Security Council says. The president can't do anything with regard to war or regard to taxes or regard to spending unless Congress has authorized it. So we basically have, looming on the horizon, an emperor. Exactly as you said, unlimited power, so whatever freedoms and liberties we enjoy, they are at the sufferance of the president. He can revoke them at any time he wishes. You know, I mean, go to the UN Security Council, well, get a resolution that says we have to suppress free speech in all countries of the world because it's dangerous to incumbents. Anything like that. Now, of course, these hypotheticals seem a little bit strained now because our political culture wouldn't tolerate that. But the president, nevertheless, will lie around like a loaded weapon. It's not going to go away in one day or 2 weeks or whatever. Maybe Obama might be so brazen in utilizing the absolute power in this way, but what about a successor? What about our own Caligula rather than the Roman Caligula? They're going to come at some.
But they're already, sir, you're absolutely on target here as a top constitutional law scholar. They know what they're doing, but I saw that yesterday at whitehouse.gov reading that paper where they say the credibility of the UN, not the Constitution, not the law, not the war powers, the UN, but that's double-sided. This then is a direct assault on the power of Congress and hence the power of the American people and our system of checks and balances. So to making the UN credible, that then, if this precedent is allowed to be set through this new international model of governance, then practice, they believe, via the international common law will bring it in, setting the precedent that now the Congress is basically ceremonial.
That's right. It's an adornment, if you will. It's an adornment. It's ornamentation on the wall, but otherwise, president doesn't think he can get it through Congress. Okay, just go to the UN Security Council, trade off his veto, where he bargains with China and Russia and all these other great countries.
That means China and Russia and others have more authority than our Congress.
And remember this, even in regards to Libya, Obama consulted more with the Arab League than he did with our U.S. Congress. Now, has the Arab League ever paid a single tax to the United States, ever done anything for us? And he consults with the Arab League. That shows you how zany and dangerous this is. It's the end of constitutional government as a matter of principle.
Unbelievable. Bruce, fine, I should ask you, is there a website that's the best place to read your writings and find out about your books?
Well, the Campaign for Liberty has a lot of them on there, but it's probably the easiest because I'm in the middle of building a new website now. So if you just Google Bruce Fine, F-E-I-N, you get thousands of things, and that has a pretty good collection.
All right, you've laid out the clear-cut 100% case. They know under international administrative law they're just practicing this. Possession is 9/10 of the law. They are trampling the republic. This, I said this 3 weeks ago, this is Julius Caesar crossing the Rubicon. I use the exact same analogy because that's what's happening. We see the French under UN pouring into the Ivory Coast, backing rebels, slaughtering innocents with machetes. I mean, clearly the global empire is setting the precedent where they finance rebels who rebel. Then this global empire invades its vassals, supply Hessian mercs, as Obama has supplied us. What response are you getting in Congress as you walk the halls? Because Republicans might try to impeach him over health care or something, but a lot of these Republicans, they like war. The military-industrial complex loves to fill their coffers.
Well, I think there's a concern, and I would say it's more visceral than cerebral about what the president has done. And you're right, but there are a fair number of freshmen who haven't quite got you know, intellectually corrupted by those who have been in town so long that they see power in Congress or the executive branch always good because they can become lobbyists afterward and make huge sums, you know, helping their clients navigate their way through through big government. But there's certainly a receptivity. There's a recognition. Yeah, it's wrong, but really, what should we do about it? And it's not all that different from Watergate, where I was around. It took a while for the public's support and opposition to the idea, if the president does it, it's automatically legal, to push Congress to have Watergate hearings and ultimately the impeachment hearings leading to Nixon's resignation. And that's what's going to happen in this case. The members get it, but unless the populace writes in, emails, says, we've got to get rid of these guys, we need to have impeachment hearings, make them come up and explain on television before the entire public. Yeah, we can go to war to support the credibility of the UN Security Council, but not the United Nations, not United States Constitution. Make them do that, but that's only going to come if the population, the voters, get aroused. We cannot expect honor to be prevailing in the Congress, you know, principled adherence to the Constitution. Fear is what will move them, and fear of not getting elected and being criticized by their voters, that's what will get them to move on.
Mr. Fine, constitutional lawyer circulating articles of impeachment in the U.S. Congress, hopefully getting some traction on this, because this is the gauntlet being thrown down. Do you agree with me or with your legal gravitas? Correct me if I'm wrong, but Article 1, Section 9, dealing with the president swearing foreign oaths, serving foreign powers, foreign groups, clearly that is a big impeachable offense. If not, then he could go be, you know, vice president or premier, prime minister of Russia or Bangladesh, for that matter. And they were shaking with pleasure when Obama became the head of the Security Council on that one-month rotation. Never before had been done. Is that not an impeachable offense as well?
Well, it comes close, because what you're pointing out is the worry that the founding fathers had about divided loyalties. You know, they had seen that problem chronic in European countries, where people would be bribed and be serving two masters at the same time. And that's what that prohibition was about. You've got to be loyal only to the United States. You know, they had Benedict Arnold. You know, they had their traitors, and they had great loyalists like Nathan Hale as well. And it is very problematic any time. Anyone who's serving in the United States government, especially the president, has any official tie to any institution that is somehow unanchored to the United States Constitution. And what you've pointed out is there's only one oath that the president takes. It's to support and defend the Constitution of the United States, period. He has no loyalty to anything else. And that's right in Article 2. And then when he starts to assume offices or authorities that suggest that he's loyal to a treaty or to some other institution, the United Nations or anything else, that is a very, very, very serious problem.
And they know what they're doing. I mean, that was a test, a trial balloon. Now he has violated his oath brazenly. And I think you're right. This is the issue to go after him on, because it's so naked. Can you just briefly, when you get 5-10 minutes with a congressman spending days down there trying to educate them, or when you go to lunch with a group of congressmen and women, if you're talking, you know, to a congressman right now, and some of them do listen to this show, we've had them on as guests and they've told us, if congressmen are listening right now, or if state legislatures are listening, they can put pressure. Citizens can put pressure on Congress people. If you had 2 minutes to address Congress right now, what would you say?
I would say, your war power is every bit as much enshrined in the text of the Constitution exclusively as your power to tax and your power to spend. If you forfeit this power, you surrender it to the president, let him go to war at will, you're basically setting a precedent that enables him to steal equally your power to tax and your power to spend. Moreover, the war power is perhaps most dangerous because it inescapably concentrates all power in the executive because of the natural patriotism of the people, the secrecy, the taxes. You will bankrupt the entire country. And that is what the founding fathers worried more about than anything else. Indeed, they said the most important provision in the entire Constitution for enshrining a republic was the requirement that only Congress could change us from a state of peace to a state of war. You could not have freedom in a state of constant warfare. And this is no time for summer soldiers and sunshine patriots. In the United States, the law is king. The king is not law. And if we ever forget that, the republic will have surrendered to an empire, and we will all be reduced to vassals.
Absolutely. Very well said. Total veritas. And why not just make George Washington a king? It was offered to him. Why not just have a king? I mean, why don't we now have, you know, King George the 25th right now? You know, his great, you know, progeny. Why not, if we're going to have this? And you've got this coterie of bureaucrats and internationalists and UN people now running the presidency. If this goes through, it is certainly the major signpost that our republic has fallen to the New World Order.
That is absolutely correct. And it's part of it. You know, maybe you could have some platonic guardian, some great enlightened leader, you know, Hammurabi, who will do great good. But there was one precept upon which this republic was founded. There's a dignity and thrill that comes from charting your own destiny. We may make errors, but we struggle with it ourselves. We are reduced to dwarfs if we are giving responsibility for our own lives and destiny to somebody else. It's a collective endeavor, but we would rather be free and mature and accountable for our own conduct than being some kind of serf to some all-knowing, omniscient wise man. No, we don't want that. We don't want to be a slave. We don't want to be a master either.
Well, it's simple.
That's really the philosophy that is lost from this country. You know, we need, we want, and must decide for ourselves. You don't tell us, Mr. Obama, what's good for the nation. We are the nation. We will decide through our Congress whether we want to go to war. You don't tell us.
Okay, I think I'm in love right now. I got to have you back on a routine basis. Because this guy is just, when you talk to somebody who's done the same research you have times 10, it is just so wonderful. Because, folks, the truth will set us free. When we are put in the position of slaves, we begin to take on the manner of slaves. We need the responsibility of running our republic, not a bunch of crooks at the UN. Stay there, sir. Let's come back and talk about how we get this impeachment against this tyrant.
Security and continuing stability, the Republic will be reorganized into the First Galactic Empire for a safe and secure society.
This is how liberty dies, with thunderous applause.
There you go, from Revenge of the Sith, playing on Julius Caesar. Bruce Fein, continuing, I mean, this is the gauntlet, this is crossing the Rubicon, this is full UN domination of the executive. This is treason, is it not?
Well, treason is defined in the Constitution as consisting of levying war against the United States. So it's not strictly the crime of treason, but it's treasonous to the constitutional philosophy, and that's good enough to make it an impeachable offense.
Well, aren't they levying war against the Constitution and the due authority of Congress and the Republic itself? If the Republic is not these laws and these codes and these canons, I mean, this is war.
Well, it's certainly war in the figurative sense. I'm being a little bit fastidious about the constitutional language. It means levying war against the United States of America. I agree with you. It's war. It's an attack on the United States Constitution. It's an impeachable offense because the Founding Fathers initially had limited those crimes to treason and bribery, and then they said, no, we need to prohibit efforts to subvert the Constitution. Subvert the Constitution. That's exactly what this is. It fits like a glove, the definition of a high crime and misdemeanor that needs to be impeachable and removing the incumbent from office.
Well, the good news is monitoring libertarian and conservative radio, a lot of them, most of them are balking at this war. And I don't hear the military calling in going, rah, rah, war, war. The American people are certainly upset, and it's up to them to put the pressure on Congress, the real government that levies war. What can we do to ensure that this impeachment rolls forward? And do you think you're going to see a movement now? It might help if Congressman Ron Paul comes back out on the floor and basically reads a statement that you've written or that he's written. We need to go ahead and throw the gauntlet right back down at him.
Well, that is correct. And so that would mean all your listeners email or write in, tell them that you've seen the impeachment article I've drafted, that they need to support that, that you are totally opposed to any idea that a president unilaterally can take us to war to defend the credibility of the United Nations Security Council, that you're interested in charting your own trajectory, and this is a step short of Caesar and in Rome. And it's intolerable, and that they're going to lose their vote unless there's some action taken on this score. And it's that kind of writing, that kind of communication. It can even mean going to a state legislative body and urging the state legislator to do that, or resolutions in schools or in Rotary clubs, any kind of organization, any kind of vocal demonstration that this is simply not acceptable to the American people. They do not want to be an empire. They want the military used to defend American interests here at home. And that has got to be communicated, and Congress will operate accordingly. And I will be up there every single day trying through the educational process and really underscoring they basically are committing perjury if they took an oath to support the Constitution and having it stolen right out from under their eyes, do nothing. Well, what was their oath when they attained office in the U.S. Congress? To support one document only, the Constitution, and the war power being its most important. They don't have the discretion to just shut their eyes. And I think that it is, but it's going to take time. You know, we can't expect these kinds of swelling of congressional sentiment and the public to occur overnight. We know we've got distractions elsewhere, and we've become accustomed too much to believing in empire. I mean, Clinton was doing the same thing in Bosnia, Herzegovina.
Stay there, sir.
Whatever.
Back in 1 minute. Let's continue along that important line. Five more minutes with our guest.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Constitutional lawyer, a man Ron Paul said Bruce Fein is one of the most important legal minds in our time. Constitutional Peril is a must-read for American lovers of liberty. He's up there working hard all this week on Capitol Hill, bringing forward the evidence of impeachable offense, high crime misdemeanor, violating the war clause of Congress, something that the founders were completely obsessed with. Because look at third world countries. Look what we see in Latin America and Asia. It's always the military or some junta out of their legislature taking over. I mean, this is what Eisenhower warned about in his farewell address in 1961. It's happening. Not with a bang, with a whimper. And we're not going to beat this overnight. But we need to put out the challenge now, put out the facts, build the movement against it, because now this power grab has happened, and they're going to accelerate it. You better believe it. What are some other areas that you see that Obama's engaged in that are impeachable, sir?
Well, the two greatest ones are asserting authority to place Americans on assassination lists and just kill them because he says they're an imminent threat to the United States. There's no due process, there's no judicial warrant, no finding of probable cause having committed a crime. Just sticking on assassination list. I mean, Nixon had his enemies list, but they weren't set out for killing. You know, maybe he had an IRS audit or something like that. These are the things that tyrants do. An assassination list, even the concept is abhorrent to any nation that cherishes due process of law. We have ways in which we punish people consistent with the law. They can get death sentences like Timothy McVeigh, but we just don't stick them on assassination lists and kill them. The second thing he's done there is he's basically suspended, you know, the right of trial in Guantanamo Bay for American citizens. He can identify you or me as an enemy combatant. That is, in some way, we're affiliated with Al-Qaeda or those involved in 9/11. We're affiliated, and then we don't get a trial. We don't get accused of anything. We just get to sit and rot in detention for life because we're supposed to stay there until the end of the war. war against international terrorism.
And now we're hearing Petraeus, said to be the new CIA director, saying don't do things, even if it's free speech, that hurt the war effort. And I hear conservative hosts saying, yeah, maybe we should arrest Koran burners. No, folks, if we don't have the right to do that, we have no right. We have no free speech. And in closing, looking at this with the TSA and the hands down the pants, all the things they're doing, is there any doubt in your mind, Mr. Fine, that the system across the board is trying to break our will and set the precedent that all 10 of the First Amendments of the Bill of Rights are dead?
Yes, it's trying to set the precedent that the whole purpose of government is, in its government's view, to make us risk-free. And since we all have a capability of being evil, then we all get to be detained, searched, hounded, and everything else, because maybe we could do something evil since we're not saints. It's trying to reduce the country to a de facto police state, where the presumption is you could do something bad, we have to stop you, rather than the presumption being liberty. The Founding Fathers insisted the default position, if there's any equivocation in the evidence and experience, is liberty. Freedom. The default is not government power. And that's where we've turned the entire Republican enterprise on its head.
All right, we've only got a minute left. I wanted to bring up the other point that when they passed the Patriot Act in October of 2001, they said it was only for foreign terrorists. But I read Section 802 and others. It basically said anything that endangers human life that's a violation of federal or state law. And looking at that, now I see the headlines where per state, prosecutors are using the Patriot Act at the state level in, quote, thousands of cases a year, including marijuana, marital violence. Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt this is being used against us.
Absolutely, it's being used against us. And again, this is at a time when even the Attorney General is saying, you know, even if we had the Patriot Act, we still would have had 9/11. So it's just power for the sake of power. There's no attempt to try to demonstrate any connection between these new government authorities and actual ability to stop crime. And that's what's so dangerous, because it's the presumption, if it's conceivable in 1,000 years that this authority might be useful, all right, then we'll do it. Even if the result is 5 million innocent people get harassed, detained, improperly scrutinized.
It's guilty until proven innocent. It's Napoleonic law. Bruce Fine, I look forward to speaking to you again in the future. God bless you with the impeachment. Let me say bye to you during the break. Amazing info. Get behind this impeachment, folks.
Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Just went live up on Infowars.com. We've been covering it all this week, but the article of impeachment for high crimes and misdemeanors of Barry Sotero, the imposter, a.k.a. Barack Obama, for openly now putting out a new letter saying, yes, he launched the war without congressional approval, on record, because they had to expand the credibility of the U.N. They don't even say it's about humanitarian as they carpet bomb Libya with depleted uranium weapons and bomb the rebels and don't even apologize and blow up a bunch of their tanks, the Al-Qaeda heroes that our media tells us they are. Again, I'm un-American because I don't like Al-Qaeda. I'm sorry if you don't like it, fine. I will not say Al-Qaeda is good. I'm sorry. I can't believe I have to get to the point in this country to say that. But yes, it is Al-Qaeda running the operations there under U.S. and British command. And the article of impeachment is up there. Imagine the UN gives the order. Congress isn't even consulted. Top constitutional law scholar, Ron Paul calls him the top guy, Bruce Fine, circulating this on Congress, getting some serious traction. It's up on Infowars.com. Bruce Fine, articles of impeachment for tyrant Obama. So important to get that out to everyone you know and point out what's really happening here. Now, with us for the next 51 minutes and your phone calls is Bob Chapman of the InternationalForecaster.com. And before we get into the financial news, Bretton Woods 2 happening with that horrid creature, George Soros, and the propaganda I am hearing out of Bloomberg Financial, how the globalists are going to save us with a world government. It's now official. Your take on the precedent 3 weeks ago, when Obama said, I'm following the orders of the UN, Congress has no authority, I'm not even approaching them. This is about building the credibility of the United Nations up. This is Caesar crossing the Rubicon. There's no doubt this is treason.
Absolutely. No question whatsoever. And it's being done deliberately to test the American public to see what they're going to say about it. And, of course, this move for impeachment probably couldn't have come at a better time, although it would have been better if it came a lot earlier. I heard the end of what Mr. Fine had to say, and yourself, and another mission. And let's try to knock this guy out of the box, so to speak. And as far as the United Nations operation is concerned, they've been pulling this for years, although previously they've gotten approval most of the time from Congress, especially early on. But now they're just bypassing everything. They're trying to meld us into a dictatorial government, which will be melded with others. And, you know, when I speak about this, I can't help but think about the Germans withdrawing their troops from the NATO operation and voting in abstention in the UN Security Council when they were voting in regard to the no-fly zone. And I think that has to be an extremely important event. And that, of course, was coming at approximately the same time that Mrs. Merkel at the G20 meeting said, no, we don't want to vote for another $1 trillion. Of course, they called it in euros. And we've already got a trillion. In fact, the trillion that these solvent members have said that they would commit to the bailout of these six countries that are in trouble, we'd like to cut that by $300 billion. This goes right in the face, both events, of what the internationalists want to do. And have you discussed this on the program before, Alex?
What specifically? You laid out a few issues there. The fact that...
Well, the last two, Germany's non-participation in this NATO operation and their abstention, plus the fact Mrs. Merkel came up the same time and said, no more money, and we want to cut back what we committed ourselves for.
I think we talked about it last Friday some in that interview with you, Bob, and we have discussed it, but it does signify the major cracks in the euro. And now it's not just Bob Chapman saying that 4 or 5 years ago, predicting it would collapse. Now all over the news, as I know you track as a news hound, they're saying the euro could collapse. You predicted at least a year before the 2008 engineered financial terrorism implosion of October that the euro would go down, starting with Greece, Ireland, Portugal, then Spain, then England. And then you said after that, I'm not sure the order, it could be the U.S., then Germany last. And that you predicted even that Germany would start balking because it's the engine of Europe and basically bankrolling everything. And there's only so much the German workhorses can carry. I mean, sure, they love to work and they're smart, but you know, there's only so much they or the Japanese can carry in this whole globalist system, both very hardworking, smart groups of people. So yes, we've talked about that, but now the chickens are coming home to roost. And that was the next issue. This morning, I normally tune into WOAI 590. I tune into TV while I'm sitting there printing news and reading stories and IMing the crew because I work from home in the morning, guest ideas and, you know, talking to them. But I have Bloomberg on my XM in my house and in my car. So I listened off and on in the house. Then I got in the car and drove to work listening to it. And the reason I listened off and on for 2 hours, I normally monitor it 10 minutes, is they're at Bretton Woods, and there's almost no other media coverage of this, as you know, other than American Free Press and Infowars.com's alternative media is covering it. That it convened last night, officially off today. And Bloomberg Financial has solid coverage with their talk show host. During the news breaks, they cover other issues. But they're parading central bank heads through. They're parading top economists through. And hearing them, they're admitting, yes, we're basically in a depression. Things are getting worse. But we're going to save you with a new international banking order. We're going to run everything when they're the people that engineered this. But they all sounded tremulous and shaking and were stuttering. I don't normally hear these people stuttering and bumbling, and they were set up outside, and some of them were complaining it was cold. But the point is they sounded like a bunch of slimeball rats listening to them. So Bretton Woods is going on, but you can really see them packaging the crisis they've created, that they're going to give us the solution. So your take on what's happening at Bretton Woods, and then let's expand into what you were just getting into with Germany balking militarily and financially.
Well, I think if they try to use the SDR, it's going to be a non-starter. They tried it in the late 60s. It was a disaster. And in fact, they tried for about 4 or 5 years to stick it down everybody's throat. And what happened eventually, gold started going up strongly, and then they started selling gold into the market, and they couldn't constrain it. They did while the gold was for sale, and all of a sudden it wasn't for sale anymore, and then gold took off. It was a disaster for them. But if they parade the SDR, it's not going to work for them. If they go to 5 or 10 major currencies, it could work. But they've got to be backed by gold. And anything that they do, if it's not backed by gold in relation to a international currency or a group of currencies in an index that represent a world reserve currency, it's just not going to work. And people are not going to accept it. And who are the first ones who are not going to accept it? China, Russia, Brazil, Iran. And there's many countries that don't want that. They've seen what's happened. And, you know, even though the United States and Europe and England are in a terrible mess financially and economically, many of the other countries in the world are not in that position. I mean, just in our neighbors in Canada and Mexico, their economies are growing at about 4 to 4.5%. Unemployment's down. Their balance of trade is excellent. Their currencies just are gaining against the dollar. The Canadian dollar was 106 yesterday. The Mexican peso's just gained 4 pennies on the dollar. These are unheard of things. So if they're going to come up with a package that's going to work, it's got to be backed by gold, and it's got to be reasonable. So it'll be interesting to see what they come up with. And I don't have any idea what they are going to come up with, because there's been no intelligence whatsoever as to what the plan is. All I know is they're parading not only these dignitaries from other countries. It's a very big place, because I've been in there a couple of times before. I used to go to camp up in that area where I was a kid, so that was one of the important places to be at any given time. But we're going to have to see what they come up with, and then we'll be it'll be easier to make a decision on whether the thing could work or not.
All right, Bob, I've got a lot of questions for you when we come back from break. Then we're going to take calls. I want to get into gold and silver's meteoric rise that you, again, predicted months ago. And you've also predicted they'll try to drive it down again. What you see happening, will they be successful driving it down, or will it just continue on up? The fact that reportedly Max Keiser says the COMEX almost defaulted last month. A, do you agree with that analysis? Do you think that could be coming up soon, or will they just try to block it with paper, or will they fail? But also, I'm hearing suddenly on financial news, but also mainstream radio and TV, ads for investing in new international currency system. And I'm getting buzz from this from wealthy people I know. And so it appears that the establishment, to try to back up some new global currency, is trying to get suckers into it as some new derivative model. Because I've gone and researched some of these companies, and some of them are big, but they're not really even explaining what it is they're selling. You know, is it just buying into a stock for a company that's manipulating currencies and playing currencies? I mean, I'm just seeing a lot of hype pushing that. I want to see if you've picked up anything on your radar screen on that front. Bob Chapman of the InternationalForecaster.com is our guest. I'm Alex Jones. By the way, they're going very, very quickly, and when they're gone, they're gone. We're selling out the last remnants. We haven't sold any in over a week. up the potassium iodine that's vital to be in any medicine cabinet, especially with the government now saying that 25,000 times safe levels of radiation will now be considered safe in the United States. We covered that yesterday. Those are available at Infowars.com, but they won't be there long. Okay, Bob, getting into gold and silver, break down the technicals of what we've seen just happen with this record explosion in the price of silver and gold this week and what you expect the system to do.
I think gold's going to 16 to 1650, and I made this prediction months ago. And possibly before the end of the year, we could see 2,000 or more. Secondly, silver is a very unique situation. I noticed Max Kaiser has said problems are going to arise at $48 an ounce. Could very well be right. I've been talking in terms of 55 to 60, not far away, same concept. And I think that my look on it was they'll want to test 50, the old high, those who are long. And any attack that's going to come will come at 50. But if 50 is broken, and I think it will be because of the dreadful situation that JPM and HSBC are in, I think they're going to default. And that means to me that they'll probably stop trading on the futures exchange on COMEX as well as the LBMA in London. That means gold and silver options will not be tradable. The whole market will be upside down. The derivatives will go haywire, and it's going to have a devastating effect on the exchange-traded funds, which are GLD and SLV, GLD being gold and SLV being silver. It's my guess that they both have probably approximately 25% or one-third in physical that they're holding, and there's no way of knowing this. You have to back into it. And the rest of it's paper, which is what I've just mentioned, options, futures, and derivatives.
Well, Bob, I remember 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago, over and over again, you saying for inflation, gold should be above 2,000. And when gold was $600, people thought that was nuts. When it was 800, 1,000, they thought it was nuts. Now at 1,400 and rising, 2,000 doesn't sound so crazy. And here's the other news. U.S. Airlines attempt to raise fares for 10th time. Food gas prices on the rise. An average for a gallon of gas, just the cheap stuff, $3.76. Talk of $150 to $200 a barrel oil, not just from Lindsey Williams 6 months ago, but now all over the news. Oil jumps another 2% in a day to above 112.5. Brent crude well above 123. I mean, this is clearly inflation. The head of Walmart says inflation's going to be serious. Your take on that?
And he also said it would be over 10%. That was Mr. Simon, I believe.
Yes.
What's going to happen here? Let me go back 2 years and just say there's been a war going on between gold and the dollar and other currencies. Each year, for the last 11 years, both gold and silver versus nine major currencies each have appreciated over 20% a year on average. So this is nothing new. Now, secondly, over the last 2 years, the war between the dollar, the reserve currency, and the price of gold and silver in particular was won by gold and silver, but particularly by gold. And the world has decided, in part, that gold and silver are more important than the dollar and other currencies. And so that's why gold has been going up. It's just lately that news has come about, not on this program, but mainstream, we'll call it, that we were going to see higher inflation, and now that's starting to get built into it. And that's giving gold and silver a shove upward that wasn't there before. And, of course, the president's working group on financial markets is in the market every day trying to knock them down. And, you know, I start watching 3 or 4 in the morning, and I get a good feel. I used to be a tape reader when I was a broker, and most people don't even know what that is anymore. But anyway, There's a rhythm to the market, and you watch it, and you know what's going on. You know who the buyers are, and that's what's going on in that market. They're trying desperately to hold it down. And the reason they're doing that is that gold and silver are the antithesis of paper currencies, particularly fiat ones, and it's going to keep right on going.
Yeah, they call the paper currencies and other derivatives bluff. We're going to come back, Bob, briefly get into my question that we didn't get to yet. All this hype, these investments in the new international currency, and it just looks like a bunch of companies out there setting up some new derivatives.
I would stand in line for this. There's always room in life for this.
Okay, Bob Chapman is our guest every Friday for the last few years. He's been a guest for a decade routinely. You notice his phone line, he doesn't live in the U.S., is a IP phone. It's been breaking up a bit. I apologize. We're going to try to fix that soon, or we'll have to mail Bob a satellite phone. I'm joking, for him to be on the show, but his knowledge is invaluable, so we can put up with it here, Bob, but you're killing us. We love you, though. We got a bunch of phone calls here. Al, who disagrees, goes to the head of the line. David, Jack, another Al, Sean, and others. Toll-free number to join us, 800-259-9231. I notice in the last month, a lot of different radio, TV ads, print ads about invest in the new global financial order, invest in the new global currency. And I've gone to a few of the websites. Some of the companies are big, some are small. And then it's not even really clear what the investments are. They say just call them. Have you noticed this big uptick? And does this tie into George Soros and his Bretton Woods too, hyping up that America's bad, that capitalism failed? We need the very bankers that did this to us to now take over everything. What's going on?
Well, all I've heard is that the ads exist, and I don't know anybody that's called. And so I don't actually know what they're up to and whether it has any connection to Soros and his meeting and this new currency that they'd like to put together. I don't know. I would have to look into it.
Yeah, I've got to do some more looking as well. I want to go to the phone calls now. But before I do that, Bob, I've been asking the questions. Are there any other points or issues that you think are important that people should be made aware of?
Well, I think the situation in Libya becomes clearer. You've got the four aquifers under the country. You've got a good source of oil. You have an independent central bank that just happens to have 143.8 tons of gold in it. And you have, as you pointed out over and over, Al-Qaeda manning the guns for the rebels. The rebel leader was living for the last 20 years in Virginia and works for the CIA. And one of the things that I think is pertinent here that Paul Craig Roberts talked about, which I didn't address, is the cutoff of oil with China. And it is significant, and I wish I had thought of it, but I didn't. And I think that is an important aspect because, as Paul Craig Roberts explains, that this is an important event. And he also brings in the fact that Russia is being surrounded by NATO. And I think it's significant if we're going to have a third world war. And also he brings out the fact that AFRICOM was put together by France as well as the United States, and Mr. Gaddafi refused to join it. So there's several reasons why the U.S. and others want to get rid of Mr. Gaddafi.
But now we see the head general, U.S. general over the operation. We all know that the U.S. is really running the NATO operation, even though they claim NATO's in command, saying, yes, we'll probably have to invade. And we see the U.N. saying, well, we may invade, but that'll only be an advisory force. Well, there have been U.S. and British and special forces and CIA and MI6 in there before it happened. I mean, it's all on record. And more conservatives are finally waking up to the fact that Al-Qaeda's globalist run, the fact that they admit it's Al-Qaeda is the core of the rebels. The Wall Street Journal even admits that, but they spin it and say, well, maybe that's the good Al-Qaeda. I mean, it's so in your face. It's so ridiculous, Bob.
It's obnoxious to a thinking person because anybody can see through what they're doing. And that's part of that arrogance. They don't care what we think anymore. Are they going for the whole bag of marbles? And they know they have to. And they know what's going to happen if they lose. They're going to end up in court, in jail, and some of them might get hung. I mean, that's where this thing is headed. They've got to go for broke. There's no way back for them.
Well, I think that's, in the final equation, the big issue is that the globalists are moving on every front. The French have gone into the Ivory Coast to back the rebels, slaughtering people. The globalists are trying to overthrow countries all over the world by backing rebels. I mean, the New World Order is now starting simultaneous wars all over the planet, not just the four they already had going, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Iraq, now Libya. You've got troops in over 100 countries, thousands of bases. And this is what the RAND Corporation 3 years ago wrote about. Paul Watson then wrote a story about it that got a lot of attention, where they said, to get out of this global depression and get our new world order, we got to have something a lot bigger than Iraq and Afghanistan. We've got to have wars all over the place. War is the health of the state, as they say, and that's what's happening right now. Allen, Ohio, you're on the air with Bob Chapman. Go ahead.
Well, I've been listening to you guys talk about the Constitution, and I'm just as big a fan of the Constitution as anyone else. We've got a problem, though. People don't seem to understand. Let me give you a Senate report, 93-549. This was done and submitted in November 1973. I'm going to read you just a small section of it, okay?
Are you about to tell me the treaties supersede the Congress because they don't and the federal courts have ruled that?
No. I'm not going to tell you that.
Okay, well, go ahead, ma'am. What do you disagree with?
I disagree with the fact when they gave the President of the United States in 1933 the war and emergency powers, they never took it back.
Yeah, but so, I know we're in an emergency, but that's still illegitimate. That's a bit of legalese. We're reclaiming the republic. Just like in 1776, they said, we got red blood. We're not your slaves. We reclaim it. So much of this is not just their legalese or Bill Clinton saying depends on what the word is. It is an imperium. It is a dictatorship of the executive to have Obama doing this. And if the Congress has the will to impeach him, they can do it. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I don't disagree with you, Alex. I do agree with you. But Congress, I don't even think, would have to go that far. They can start by taking away his War and Emergency Powers Act, which is what he uses to do all of this stuff, making himself a dictator.
But he didn't say he was using that. He said for the credibility of the UN. They're not even mincing words.
But have you noticed that all of these guys have kept us either in a war or a state of national emergency? There have been no exceptions since 1933.
No. One time I was watching C-SPAN Live a decade ago or so, and the sergeant of arms marches in with the messenger of the president. I have a message. And then they use some grain crisis or whatever it was at the time to redeclare the emergency for the year. And we've had constitutional law scholars on that break this down, and now they've expanded it under the COG FEMA system in the name of security. What we're saying is that itself is unconstitutional and illegitimate, and so if we begin to impeach Obama, our laws trump their confetti laws. Bob Chapman, do you agree or do you have comments on this?
No comments, and I agree with you, and I think that's the way to go on it. It gets right to the heart of the matter.
I mean, what about torture? What about saying they're allowed to kill U.S. citizens and assassinations? The War Powers Act doesn't give them that power. Even under wartime law, you're not allowed to assassinate citizens without trial. But I understand, your name's Al, or did Al hand the phone to you from Ohio?
No, I'm Al. We could add that to what you guys are talking about, solutions. get rid of his ability to do that, because he can do things without the permission.
But ma'am,
of
so
Congress.
Much of I appreciate your call, and I see where you're coming from, and it's well taken. But look, so much of life is simply saying, "I'm not your slave." I mean, did black slaves 200 years ago that ran away from their slave masters, was that lawful? No, the law at the time said it was illegal. Forget that law. They're not slaves. And this is written into our law that if somebody tries to pass a law that violates the Bill of Rights and Constitution, it's null and void. What is that? Marbury versus Madison and so many other rulings. I mean, if a cop comes to my door and says, come out here and mow my lawn, I don't have to. It's just common sense. So, yeah, Obama puts out a resolution. Obama says, the UN says, I don't care what they say. And again, it's that attitude of you're a fraud, you're a scam, you're a liar. The Federal Reserve is illegitimate. Just 10 years ago, 5 years ago, people said you could never beat the Federal Reserve. No one even knows they're private. Now in polls, over 80% know it's private, want to abolish it. The bankers, Brzezinski, give speeches saying we're in trouble. The people now see us. They're looking past our facades of politicians. Look, so much of a war is morale and knowing you're in the right and the moral high ground. We outnumber them 10,000 to 1. Let's kick their hind ends. Bob, comments.
Why, you covered it very well. Absolutely. And bringing the word to the people is what's killing the enemy. And you cited Brzezinski, which we've talked about numerous times before. They're in trouble. They've got to go for everything. There's no way out for them. And we've got them on the run.
That's right.
And it's because of programs in talk radio and what's on the internet. We're reaching all over the world. I mean, I know you've done this before, but three, four times a month, I'm on foreign radio stations. They come to me, like they do to you, and say, would you be on and talk about such and such and so? We're reaching all over the world is the point.
That's right. And we have history, we have the Constitution, Bill of Rights, Declaration of Independence on our side. And if the globalists try to start shutting the web down or talk radio, that's not going to work. The genie's out of the bottle, and the globalists are fleeing forward. They're desperate. They're threatening and going in all directions because they're floundering. They can't hold gold and silver down. They're failing.
And that is the truth. They are failing. No matter how much they try, they can't keep it down anymore.
Let's go to David in Texas. David, you're on the air.
Hello, Alex.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, great show, by the way. I agree with everything you guys are talking about. This is kind of off topic, but it's something I thought that you might want to be aware of.
No, it's open phones. We're all over the map. Go ahead.
Okay. You know, I follow YouTube, and I go around looking for guerrilla media. That's what I like to call it. It's basically, you know, just people posting opinions and things. And I found something from a YouTube poster called Just Call Me Kit. Anyway, she posted a link to fedbizops.gov where they're looking for armed professional security officer services. If you want the solicitation number, I can give
you.
No,
I've got the solicitation numbers for internment center workers here in the U.S. It's in the Wall Street Journal. It's in the Houston Chronicle. So, yes, I've seen that. The government is arming every different agency they can. They are trying to hire tattletale squads, professionals to be tattletales. They're gearing up for a total criminal takeover because they know we're in a depression. They engineered it that way to get total power. I mean, how ridiculous is it, Bob, when they tell us that the recession's over when every indicator is inflation's kicking up and we're in a depression?
And employment really isn't improving. They use that U3 and knock it down from 10% to 8.8 over a six-month period, but they could only get U6 down, which is the combination of the first five, from 17.1 to 15.9, and therein lies the secret that in the unemployment numbers are over 22%, and there's no recovery when you have those kind of numbers. And how many people are being forced? 10 million or so to be working part-time, 34.3 hours a week.
Bob, let me ask you this. David, I appreciate your call. Interesting point. Send that to me. I'm sorry, Bob. Go ahead.
Yeah, and so there is no recovery.
Well, even if you believe the baloney that this is a jobless recovery, another Orwellian term, the war isn't a war, it's a kinetic action, ground troops aren't ground troops, they're there now telling us that the economy's wonderful while oil prices explode that affects every part of the economy. What are these single moms with three kids going to do? What are blue-collar workers going to do when gas is, in many areas of the country, $4 a gallon?
I guess they're not going to travel very much.
Well, it's going to kill every level of the economy, and that's going to be
certainly is.
And that's going to be money that people can't spend on clothes, housing, education, medicine. And I've seen financial experts on the news saying, well, if they spend the money one place, it's still as good as the other because that's profits for corporations. Those are offshore corporations. They use that in acquisition of big items, other companies. They're not spending the money here. That's the paradox, Bob. There's so much money the central banks have been dumping out in the world, but they're freezing it, getting to the people, and putting giant interest rates on it for those that can get it.
Well, they call it sterilization. And in U.S. corporations in the United States, in cash, right now, the figure is about $2 trillion. But there's another figure out there, transnational conglomerates, because they don't pay taxes in America for the money that they make outside of the country. So that money is over in the Cayman Islands. And that's $2 trillion more dollars that they want to bring back, paying very, very little tax upon it. And so you're right. There's piles of money available, but they're not putting it to work in the economy.
And right-wing talk show host will love to scapegoat some limousine liberal or some welfare queen or some, you know, out-of-control communist union. And sure, a lot of them are obnoxious. Even if all those people were sent to the moon, it would have no effect on what the banksters have done. And these neocon talk show hosts will not talk about the elephant in the room. They will not talk about the real issue that GE doesn't pay taxes. Google pays 2.4. I'm paying 40%+, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, the tax bracket's way above 35. Get that straight. And now I'm sure you saw the article, Bob, about the $4.5 million payment to somebody that ratted out their employer for making tax mistakes. The IRS spies.
Yeah, and that goes along with what you were talking about just a little while ago in relation to infiltrating businesses of all kinds and using people as spies. It's the same concept.
Land of the free, home of the brave has a hollow ring to it. Jack in Illinois, you're on the air with Bob Chapman.
Hi, Alex. I have a comment and a quick favor to ask you. I'm just wondering if you and Bob are familiar with this 9/11 court case that's taking place this week.
Is that
involving the Pentagon? Actually, Jesse Ventura had it on the conspiracy theory program with military officer April Gallup.
Yes, I've interviewed her before, and I am aware of that, and I'm getting a lot of phone calls about it. So, yes, we're aware of it, and I'm working on getting her back on the show.
I guess there's a media blackout on it, and I found a little bit on the Internet about what's
going on. Yeah, we covered it. We covered it yesterday, actually. There's not a blackout here.
Okay, well, I'm sorry I missed that.
Or was the day before.
Okay. Yeah, I just think we need to get the word out about that. And I guess Judge John Walker, who's W's cousin, is one of the three judges that's hearing the appeal.
Beautiful.
Isn't that something?
What was your other point?
I just had one other quick question. I'm trying to arrange a speaking engagement with David Icke in the Chicago area when he comes back to the U.S. in November, and I was wondering if maybe off air what you or one of your people could help me get contact information about his book.
Yeah, it's davidicke.com. I appreciate your call. That's the best way. That's how we get him. We email him. All right, we're going to come back with Bob Chapman on the other side. Stay with us, InfoWars.com, PrisonPlanet.tv. Back into Glenn Beck, but nobody's perfect. But 2 weeks ago, he played edited tapes of me, and then got into a whole bunch of really pornographic, weird stuff about sexual practices that I can't even say on the air. It was beyond bizarre. I've started monitoring the show more. He gibbers and makes satanic jokes basically nonstop that I don't think his audience even hears. The more I study him, I think I might have to make a film about the guy just because last year at a press dinner, he wore a cummerbund with his tuxedo. We're going back to Bob here in a moment with a big skull and crossbones on it. Skull and bones. And then it turns out on his show earlier this week, and Aaron confirmed it and found the video. This is going up on Infowars.com the next 10 minutes and PrisonPlanet.com. Glenn Beck wears Freemasonic patch on his show, and it's the skull and crossbones and the compass, and it says 1682, and it's just all part of him throwing things in people's face, and I'm really sick of it, and he's there to lead the Liberty Movement down a rat hole, and they tried to discredit the movement with him. It didn't work, so now he's off Fox, and now he's saying he wants InfoWarrior activist. He wants his listeners to be his activists on the street, trying to totally imitate what we've done, which would be great if he was a good guy. The problem is he's shown himself to be a duplicitous person. Now, before we go back to Bob, and we're going to do 5 minutes of the next hour so we can get to Alan, Al, Sean, George, Joe, cramming as many as I can. I'm not going to belabor this, but Ted is with his family today. Actually, we had to go to a funeral. And so he can't be here to pop in with us, but they're running just through this weekend, and then it is over. He's gone up on the Creature from Jekyll Island silver dollar deal, free silver dollar when you get the book. But he hasn't gone up on the $110 for three silver dollars, which at the price right now would be above $220. Three silver dollars, three of my best-selling films, and free shipping for $110. It's the Alex Jones special. They got a bunch of other specials. When you call, just say it's the radio special. The prices will go up Monday. And he's extended it through the weekend, 800-686-2237, 800-686-2237. Again, that's 1-800-686-2237. Bob Chapman, three silver dollars on top of it. These are pure silver dollars, folks, the 999, the real deal. Three of my films, $60 value, and free shipping for $110. That's about $70 off, and that's even at spot. Is that not a good deal there, Bob Chapman?
It certainly is. Absolutely. And I think the people are very lucky that you do the things that you do. I mean, I hear other situations on radio and other advertising, and you really give them almost things for nothing.
Oh, well, Ted's always got great deals, but these deals he's been running are insane. I mean, what's the market? Silver coins on average, because there's some markup, but they're selling for about $42, $44 a piece right now.
So that's $126, $130.
And you're getting those for $110 with the shipping free and the three films. It's totally insane. The deal is so good. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. There'll be brokers there throughout the weekend. This ends Sunday night at midnight. 800-686-2237. And we're going to come back, take a call or two, Bob, and then the transmission's over. And Lord willing, you'll be back next week and with a better phone, but it's gotten better here towards the end. You can also get a franc at one of the lowest prices, silver fifth of an ounce gold coin, and get a free international forecaster for a year, a $159 value, either the email or the hard copy mailed to you version, free. For a year, the international forecaster, invaluable, big, thick, 30, 40, 50-page newsletter. It varies every week. With that, Frank, that's part of the other specials as well. Tell them Alex Jones sent you when you call 800-686-2237. God bless you all. We'll be right back. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back live for a final 5 minutes of transmission. Don't forget, up on Infowars.com, we've got the articles of impeachment for the tyrant Obama, articles of impeachment for the tyrant Obama. We need to get those out to everybody. A few final phone calls here with Bob Chapman. Let's talk to Al in Delaware. You're on the air.
Hey, Alex, how you doing? It's good to talk to you again, my friend. Thanks for everything you're doing. You've taught me more than I ever wanted to know. couple of questions here. You know, we talk about Obama and his religion, his birth certificate and everything like that. Do you think that they started to hide his information about 20 years ago when they found out that he was actually not an American citizen? And they started to set him up? Because, look, once you've got a criminal, how many times does the government take criminals and turn them into partners?
No, that's exactly. Obama is totally blackmailable, and we know that's what's going on. Bob Chapman.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I do believe this has been in the works for a long time. It goes back to the commentary about his being trained and being brought along, and the comments by people who were in Soviet counterintelligence prior to the breakup of the country, speaking to that, and they were saying that the next president is going to be black. This is who it is. And so, yes, I think this goes back a long way. These people have lots of long-term planning. I mean, look at what the situation we're in today, deliberately created. Where did it start? Bretton Woods. What do you think Soros is at Bretton Woods? It's going to be a recapture of previous events. These people are really into this stuff, and also to throw it in your face as well.
Good points. Anything else, Al?
Well, you know, I've always said since the beginning that Obama is a patsy of radical Islam. He hates America. He hates Britain. This is understood. The other question I had was about the gold and silver issues. Is it true that these mines, that there are no more silver mines on the frickin' planet?
Well, they're running out. Supplies are low. It's harder to get it, and it gets more expensive. Bob?
I think that's a capitulation. The coming year, this year and next year, production will probably increase because of money that was invested previously. But in both gold and silver, and in other metals as well, the low-lying fruit, so to speak, has been picked over pretty well. It's not going to be easy to find new pure silver mines. And even today, and for some years, 70% of silver production has come as a byproduct of lead, zinc, and sometimes copper.
Yeah, and silver's in so many electronics. That's another big issue. It truly is an industrial metal. One last caller. Sorry to the others. You can get back with us Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. Sean in New York, you're on the air. Go ahead. You be our tail gunner.
Hi, Alex. Thanks for having me on the show. You know, I appreciated hearing all the stuff about constitutional rights and things of that nature. I've actually been involved with family court, CPS, and family law for about 11 years. And a lot of what you're talking about, they're ignoring the Constitution, they're ignoring rights. I see that all the time in family court, and it just seems that they really don't even care what you think or what evidence you have. They just basically say, well, what are you going to do?
Well, family courts aren't constitutional courts. They were set up in the 1910 or so, a little earlier than that in England, as eugenics courts, forced sterilization courts. They're not real courts, and they need to be abolished. Bob Chapman, final comments on that.
I agree with you. And but it's just like everything else, as the gentleman's saying, they don't care what we think. We're going to take and change things by shoving it right down their throat. It's the only way. We got to keep after them and keep after them until this thing comes unglued. And getting rid of the president would be a big step in that direction.
Yeah, let's impeach him. It's up there on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. The crafted article of impeachment over his treason with the UN, taking us to war as a tyrant. Bob, God bless you. We'll see you back live next week. We got that constitutional lawyer coming up in retransmission on the impeachment. Stay with us.